The gospel reading today, as our Lord tells us that we must eat his flesh and drink his blood, we hear about the arguing that took place among the Jewish people. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Obviously, on the natural level, such an idea would not only be gross and disgusting, it would be a violation of God's law, because it would be outright cannibalism. But what our Lord does is something that is far greater than what we could ever imagine or ask for. And what we have to recognize first is that he doesn't back down from his point. Number two, he doesn't tell us that he is merely speaking symbolically and therefore quit taking it so seriously. As we know, as things move along in this reading, many of those who had followed him as a wider body of disciples walked away, and he didn't stop them because they didn't want to believe. They couldn't accept the truth of what it was that he was saying. The fact is, if he asked you to consume a body part or a chunk of his body, a piece of his flesh, then yeah, it would be wrong. But when he gives himself to us in the Holy Eucharist, remember, we don't get a piece of Jesus. We don't get a little bit of our Blessed Lord. We receive his entire self, 100% the entire person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The fullness of his humanity, not just a piece of his flesh, his entire body, all of his blood, his soul, and his divinity. He is God, and his divinity, united with his humanity, we receive into our own self, the entire person of Jesus. Now that is done, obviously, not physically. It would be a rather difficult thing to get a 6 foot, 180-pound man into ourselves. He gives himself to us in the form of a piece of bread. But it is his substance, not his accidents, that are present. Remember, the accidents are the things that we can see and touch and feel, the things that are accessible to the senses. But the substance is the spiritual underlying substructure that makes a thing what it is. And it is his substance that we receive, so that which makes bread and wine into bread and wine is changed into that which makes the Lord Jesus who he is. So we receive truly the entire person of our Lord, but not the accidental qualities of our Lord. Remember, in those occasions where the host has actually turned to a piece of flesh, it is still Jesus, but it is no longer the whole person of the Lord. It is no longer simply the spiritual, or I shouldn't even say it that way, but it's not just the sacramental presence of our Lord any longer. When those occurrences happen, it is now the physical presence of our Lord. And because those hosts are usually, it's the priest host, so it's only that big around, that's a piece of Jesus. It is his flesh, it is his blood, it is his humanity, his divinity is there as well, but it is a piece of the Lord. In all of the scientific tests that have been done, it is his heart. It is cardiac tissue in those occasions. But it is still only a piece of the Lord. When you receive Holy Communion, you receive the entire being, the entire person of our Lord. That is how much he loves you. And what is important even to recognize is the way that he talks about it, and that if we do not eat his flesh and drink his blood, we do not have life in us. Now, obviously, you are alive. You have life. That's because you have a soul, and your soul is the principle of life. That's what a soul is defined as, the principle of life in a living being. So you have life, natural life. But you don't have God's life. It is true that if you go back to the second chapter of the book of Genesis, God breathed the breath of life into Adam's nostrils. That was natural life. It was not God's life, although at that point Adam would have had sanctifying grace because he hadn't sinned yet. But he had natural life. We are all born with that natural life. What our Lord gives us in baptism is supernatural life, his own divine life. And that is exactly what it is that we receive in Holy Communion. We don't receive a corpse. We receive the living person of the Lord Jesus Christ as he is right now. That means as he is in glory, seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. That is the manner in which you receive him. So you receive the resurrected and glorified Lord into yourself. So think about what that means for a minute. That means your soul becomes heaven. Your soul becomes the dwelling place of God. It already is, if you're in the state of grace. He dwells there by his indwelling presence. But now he is dwelling there in his sacramental presence within you. You, your heart, becomes the throne upon which God is seated. That's the disposition that he wants us to have as we receive him in Holy Communion. So just as you now have natural life and you have a natural habitat on earth, you also now have heavenly life. And within you becomes heaven, the dwelling place of God. Our Lord taught us to pray, Father, who art in heaven. But the Holy Trinity comes to dwell in you. Remember, the divinity is shared with the Holy Spirit and with the Father as well. So if you receive the divinity of Christ, you're receiving the entire Trinity into yourself. All of the universe cannot contain the Trinity, and he comes to dwell inside of you and me. Things that we can ponder literally for the rest of eternity and not ever come to the end of it. But at least the beginning point is what we need to focus on. How much does God love you? Not just enough to die for you, which is beyond what we could ever ask for. He loves you so much that he unites himself to you. He wants you to be united with him for all eternity, but he is not willing to wait until you show up at the door of heaven to say, praise God, you made it. Now you can unite yourself with us. No. He loves you so much that he comes to you now to give himself to you, to unite himself to you, to prepare yourself to be united with him for all eternity. So now the question each one of us has to ask is, how much do I love him? Do I really believe that he loves me as much as he does? I mean, we can think about that with human beings. If somebody says, I love you, it's like, really? How much? Do I really trust that? Do I really believe that? Do I have proof? Do I have evidence? Well, you're never going to be able to prove scientifically that somebody loves you. But there's plenty of evidence. How much evidence do we need about the love of God? Look at the cross. Look at the Eucharist. Look at what he is asking us to do. Unless you eat his flesh and drink his blood, you do not have his life. That's how much he loves you. That's how much he wants to be united with you. All he's asking is that we would receive the gift he's giving to us, and that because it's love, we have to love in return, that we would give him the gift of ourself as he gives himself to us as a gift. That's the nature of love. So you can only allow yourself to be loved as much as you're willing, and you're only going to be able to love as much as you're willing to allow yourself to be loved. His love is infinite. He doesn't love you a little bit or even a lot. He loves you infinitely. So the question we have to ask again is, how much am I willing to allow him to love me? How much am I willing to open my heart when I receive him to receive his love? And how much am I willing to love him in return? Because he literally loves you with his whole heart and soul and strength, with his entire person. And that's what he's giving to you in Holy Communion. And the only proper response is not only to receive that gift, but then to do the same in reverse, to give to him our entire person and to love him with our whole heart and soul and strength. It's exactly what he asked us to do. It's the greatest commandment, because that's what is going to bring us fulfillment. That is what is going to complete us as persons, and that is what is going to unite us most perfectly to him, not only in this life as we unite ourselves with him in love and in the Eucharist, but for all eternity, where what begins at baptism, what is increased in the Holy Eucharist, is brought to fulfillment, where we will be united with God, with everyone else in heaven, for all eternity. Dominus vobiscum.